If you have your scriptures this morning, or rather, if you want to follow along in the bulletin, ask that you would turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 1, 24 through 28. And before we get there, let us kind of set the context of this passage and what some of the questions that come to me. First question is, why come to church? There are many reasons people come to church. Some come to church because it's what they've always done. Some come to church to be entertained. Some come to church to feel something. Some come to church to obtain knowledge. But I ask you, why are we here? I think it's this, and it's this alone. Because the true church proclaims Christ. That is why we are here. We are here to hear Christ proclaimed. Our main point that I want us to consider this morning is this. In this passage, we see Jesus Christ. We see Jesus Christ fulfilling the Word of God for the good of His church. We're going to see this in two points. We're going to see first the cost of the Word and the Lord of the Word. But with that as a form of introduction, I'd ask that you'd follow along with me in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Let us stand for the reading of the word. Colossians chapter 1, verses 1, 24 through 28. Now I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden throughout the mystery hidden for the ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The law of the Lord of God is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect. You may be seated. Now let us come to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come to you in prayer and we ask in mercy that you would open up your word to us, that this wouldn't be the words of man, but that you would open your word to us, that we would hear your word and that we would live. We ask this all in your Son's name. Amen. So as I addressed, why is it that we are here? We are here to hear Jesus Christ proclaimed. Jesus Christ fulfills the Word of God for the good of the church. And we're going to see this in two areas. We're first going to see this in the cost of the Word, and we're going to see this in the Lord of the Word. So let's address my first point this morning, the cost of the Word. For indeed, we see this in the first verses. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake. And in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. So Paul suffers for the revelation of Jesus Christ. He suffers the shame of the cross for the good of the church, to make fully known the word of God. Filling up what is lacking refers to Paul's service as a preacher. He fills the need of proclaiming salvation, and he suffers for it. And he does this for the good of the church. The church is the body of Christ and the household of God. Paul refers to himself as a household servant. This is what the stewardship of God is referring to. And what is the purpose of all this? Is to make fully known the Word of God, proclaiming forgiveness of sins through Christ Jesus and Him crucified. See, if you ever have known a janitor before, one thing that becomes immediately clear is how important bathrooms are. I can tell you that as a janitor myself. That is one of my trades. Bathrooms are incredibly important, but they're very common. And people often take for granted things that are common. So when the janitor closes down the restroom, there is a collective sigh. Of course, you have to find another restroom. Often what is common is considered rather an entitlement. Because what is common is seen as an entitlement, there's this idea that we take for granted the things that are common. Scripture is not common. It's special. In fact, we refer to it as a special grace. It's a special grace that is special undeserved favor to the saints, which would be to you, sinners made holy by Christ. Not only is the scripture costly, but the church is costly. Paul was suffering for the word of God declared to the saints. William Tyndale was burned at the stake for translating the Bible into English. They thought it worth the cost so that you and I can read the Bible together as the people of God. They thought it worth the cost as the covenant community. And because Christ bore the cost for you for his body, that being the church. So what are we to draw from this as a point of application? Well, it's this. Know the Word of God with the people of God. Know the Word of God with the people of God. Do not take for granted the special grace of God. Thank the Lord for his Word and read it. But don't just read it alone. Read it with his people. Come together as his church. And listen to the word. And pray that the Lord would work. Because this is how he changes hearts. This is how we hold on to his promises. This is how we are encouraged. This is how we are convicted of sin. This is how we grow in Christ. It's by someone coming up who is of no particular importance, reading the word of the Lord and explaining it. The simple proclamation of his everlasting word that proclaims salvation, forgiveness of sins through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. This is the cost of the word, and Jesus Christ fulfills the word of God for the good of the church. This leads us to our second point to consider this morning. Or excuse me, this afternoon. It's not the morning. The Lord of the Word. Let us go to our text again. The mystery hidden for the ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The mystery revealed is Christ Jesus and his salvation. The mystery of the Old Testament is revealed in the New. To them, that being his saints, which again, remember, are the redeemed sinners, he made known the mystery of the gospel. Mystery refers to something that is hidden, but now revealed. What was hidden? Well, it was Christ. Christ was hidden in the Old Testament. If we go back to Genesis 3:15, who is the seed of the woman who crushed the head of the serpent? The Old Testament presents us with many questions, but the question that they are asking is, who is the one who is going to redeem the broken world? Who is the one who will come from Abraham, who will bless all nations? Who is the greater prophet than Moses? Who is the suffering servant? Who is the Messiah, the anointed king? Christ Jesus is the seed of the woman who crushes the head of the serpent. Christ Jesus is the one who will bless all nations. He is the prophet that is greater than Moses. He is the suffering servant who was crushed for our iniquities and our sins. He is the Messiah. And you know, the the strange thing about all this, you who were strangers, now glory in Jesus Christ and are united to him. For indeed, how does Paul put this in some of the previous verses? He puts this in chapter 1, verse 21. He says this, and you who were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. You whose father is not Abraham now have the blessing of Abraham through Christ. Him we proclaim, warning and teaching all in order to present all mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. I just think if we want to get the Old Testament, we must get Jesus Christ. Christ is referred to as the capstone, or the stone that was placed in the middle of, in the way the Old Testament buildings work. You had a stone in the middle, and everything was built on the stone. The same way we have an arch. There's at the center of the arch is the capstone, which supports the entire structure. Take out the capstone, and the whole thing falls apart. Scripture makes no sense without Jesus. The Old Testament hangs on Jesus. And the New Testament fulfills the Old Testament. Every promise of the Old Testament is fulfilled in Christ. And what is that promise? That all nations will be blessed. Here's the problem. How can all nations be blessed? They are separated from God. The New Testament fulfills it. Jesus blesses all nations by dying for their sin and living for their life. Which means you who were once strangers and alienated from Christ are now united to Christ because Christ has come and has bought you peace. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, there are four applications I present to you this morning, or excuse me, evening. Lose, rejoice, wonder, and grow. First, let's address this first application this afternoon, and that is lose. Lose the love of the world for the love of Christ. For if we look at the language, the riches of his glory, of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He shed his blood at immense cost. He is worth and worthy of all things. The light and momentary joys of the world do not compare to the love of Christ. Because of the riches of his forgiveness, lose the love of the world. For he is worth the cost. Paul thought it worth the cost of suffering for the gospel so that you would hear and believe. Therefore, lose the love of the world for the sake of Christ. Secondly, rejoice. You who were dead in transgressions and sins, he has made alive himself. You have the one thing that matters in this world, and that is peace with God. You who were a stranger, far from Christ, now are a child of the living God. Rejoice, even the afflictions you have, and wonder. This was the mystery hidden throughout the ages, that the Lord God Almighty would reconcile complete strangers to himself, of which you were once. And finally, grow. Grow in him, through him, that you might be fully mature in Christ, through the proclamation of Christ and him crucified. This is why we come to church, to hear more about Jesus. More about Jesus. Isn't that a hymn? Yes, it's a hymn. This is why we come to her church. This is how we grow in Christ, through him, hearing him through his word. Which again presents us, why do we come to church? Well, it's all right to be entertained. It's all right to learn something. It's all right to feel something, but that's not why we come to church. We come to church to hear Christ proclaimed. Christ fulfills the word of God for the good of church, for the good of the church. This is seen in the cost of the word. Paul suffers for the revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us not treat Scripture as common, but let us know the word of the Lord with the people of God. Let us know the Lord of the word. Jesus Christ and his salvation is the mystery of the Old Testament. Christ is the capstone of Scripture. Therefore, lose the love of the world to gain the riches of Christ. Rejoice in the love of Christ. Wonder at his marvelous grace and grow in the proclamation of Christ. So why is it that we come to church? Well, to hear a wondrous mystery as the hymnist proclaims. Come behold the wondrous mystery. He, the perfect Son of Man, in his living, in his suffering, never trace nor stain of sin. See the true and better Adam come to save the hell-bound man. Christ the great and sure fulfillment of the law. In him we stand. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you and we ask in your mercy that you would soften our hearts, that you would grow us in grace, that you would cause us to know more about you. Lord, may we build our life on you. May we not only know you, but trust you and believe in you and worship you alone. We ask this all in your name. Amen.